And we're in 1 Peter chapter 2 today, and we're going to pick it up at verse 13. At verse 13 of 1 Peter chapter 2. And he really comes out with a very strong admonition. He said, "Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right." Wow. What an admonition. Submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every authority. And then he begins to list the authority. We don't have to submit to kings. We don't have a king. But we do have president. Some of us found it difficult, and we all find it difficult, I think, to submit ourselves to a man in office or to a person in office that we don't respect or whose party is different from ours. But it's our responsibility as believers, no matter who is in the White House, who is in the lead, we need to submit ourselves to them. Submit ourselves to all authority, not just to the president, but to the governors of each state, to law enforcement officials in our agency. We need to submit ourselves to even county officials, whether they be law enforcement or just zoning, like we have to fight and deal with occasionally. We need to submit ourselves to those people, and we do it not because someone puts a gun to our head to do it. Notice, what does it say? You submit yourselves to every authority. Submit yourselves what? For the Lord's sake. You see, I don't want to submit myself to an authority just to keep myself out of trouble, though that is certainly beneficial. I don't want to obey the authority simply because I have to. I need to abide by the authority for the Lord's sake. Now, I have to confess, that means all the laws that the authorities have established. And I know that many of us consider ourselves to be law-abiding citizens, and we are, except with the laws that we disagree with. Have you never found yourself going a tad bit faster on the road than you should? I do. It's 35 miles an hour, and what goes on in this guy's head? Plus 5 or 7, I'm with a 40 or 42, and I know that no one's going to bother me, and they don't, so everyone cuts you a break. But notice what the Bible says. Submit yourself to what? Every authority. Not because I'm afraid I'll get caught, not because I'm afraid I'll get tagged with a speeding ticket, not because I'll get pulled over and embarrassed, but I do it out of respect and love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, granted, I do want to stay alive, and so if the traffic is moving along at 65 and a 55, I better keep up with traffic or I could be dead, and that's just the reality of it. But we've got to be able to understand that we are to be submissive to all authority, even those little things. Copyright laws. Oh, I hate copyright laws. Well, I suppose I hate copyright laws because I've never written that's ever been copyrighted, and I've never had to earn a living by something that I've written. The copyright laws serve a purpose. I hate copyright laws because we think nothing of photocopying pages of music or pages of books or whatever, sometimes without permission. So that we can make a point, or that we can stress something, or that we think people need to read, or do, you know, these are the things that we just need to be careful. We have to submit ourselves to every authority. I don't know what authority you might have trouble with, but that's every authority that God has established, because God has established it. Look at that. Who are sent by Him, they're sent by God to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. Do you realize that God has established the governors and the kings and the presidents and whoever else that is involved so that they might carry out civil law? Something that you and I are not allowed to do. You and I are not allowed to exercise vigilante justice. When someone has committed a crime, you and I do not have the authority to go up and incarcerate that individual, imprison him, detain him, or kill him in any way, no matter how horrible the crime has been. That is up to the civil authorities. Civil authorities have been there to punish wrongdoers, to punish those who play outside the rules of authority. And that's why we need to pray for them, that they make good and wise judgments. But that's God's responsibility. That's why God has established them. For he commends those who do right, for it's God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. The inference here is that believers are being accused of various and sundry things. Let's go back for a moment to Jesus' life. At Jesus' trial, do you remember some of the accusations they brought against him? Blasphemy, okay, which the Jews said is punishable by death. He healed on the Sabbath. He broke Sabbath laws. Now, in reality, when he claimed to be the Son of God, was he blaspheming God? No. When he healed on the Sabbath, did he have every right to help those who were wounded and sick and lame? Did he have every right to do that? He's Lord of the Sabbath. Well, what other... In fact, they even bribed people to come in and stir up accusation against Jesus, did they not? Folks, if they did it to Jesus, they will do it to us. Those ungodly individuals will do it to us. Now, in all honesty, I don't have a whole lot of problem with those outside the church. You know, I've not had many outside the church accuse me of wrongdoing. I've had a lot inside the church accuse me of some things that I shouldn't have done. Some of it founded, most of it unfounded, because I'm not a perfect individual. Someone has to confront me with sin because I'm a sinner too. I'm not perfect. But we need to understand that God will allow us to be persecuted, charged, falsely. And he's saying us, you know, you want to, and he emphasizes this a little further down in the thing. You want to silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. They say when they're breaking some kind of civil law, you're really not. You need to silence. The only way to silence the accusation is to never break it. Now, I mentioned speeding earlier ahead of time. Therefore, if someone came and they accused me of speeding, I'd have to say guilty. If someone came along and accused me of some other crime, let's say gossip. Let's say he's spreading slander against the president. Well, we've got to evaluate. Guilty or not guilty? You see, they'll bring accusation against us. He's trying to stir up after 9/11, it concerned me that congressmen began to call Christianity the new Taliban, the American Taliban, as those agencies that were intolerant. And how many times have you and I, as Christians, the Christian community, been accused of intolerance to people, of even hating people? We preach against certain moral and social issues. You know, the two that always come to mind are abortion and homosexuality. And people say because you preach against abortion, then you hate the doctors that do this, you hate the nurses that assist in it, that you're showing hate and intolerance for those women who choose to have an abortion, and you are cruel and unusual in the comments that you say to them. No, but see, those are the accusations that come down. You're right. It is horrible to blame a homosexual's death on fundamentalist Christians or a fundamental believer, someone who holds to the faith like we do, the inerrancy of the Word, and a standard for morality. But we get accused on that. We get accused on hating the homosexual. Now, in all honesty, you've got to answer the question. Do you love the homosexual? And see, it's hard for us to think, well, I got to love the homosexual. Because it's so hard for us as human beings to make the separation between the person and the sin. We hate homosexuality because the Bible really seems to go out of the way to say how perverse it is. And we think that this is one of the grossest immoral sins that we have. And it shows the perversion of sexuality. But I don't see believers getting all upset now when people live together. Where is the outcry when in the church you know people who are living together and you say nothing about it? And there is, you know, that there is physical or there is sexual activity going on. Where is the outcry there? Where is the counsel? Where is the understanding that says, don't you understand that what you're doing is wrong? I love you, but if you love Jesus, you've got to quit this. Absolutely. I hate the sin of homosexuality, but I also hate the sin of immorality. Don't you? I mean, we ought to. You know, we hate the sin of dishonesty, yet when we fudge on the truth a little bit, we think it's okay. You see, we have a double standard. I hate the sin until I really need to do it. And then it becomes okay because I got an understanding with the big guy upstairs. That's usually what Christians say. Pardon? Yeah, that's right. There are no rules for me. No rules for the believer. That's only for somebody else. In fact, this lesson today isn't really for you. It's for the people that aren't here, you see. Don't you wish they were here to hear this? All right. All right. Here we go. Verse 16. Love, live as free men, but do not use your freedom to cover up for evil, and live as servants of God. And this really is a voluntary service of doulos, a voluntary servant under Christ, under God. Now show proper respect to everyone. That's hard to do. Because we talked about the abortionist. We talked about the homosexual. Are you able to show respect to them? As individuals, not for what they do, but as individuals, as people. You know, can I break it down a little bit more so Southerners understand it? There aren't any black people here today. There aren't any Hispanic people in our service today. Can you show blacks and Hispanics and others of foreign countries or different backgrounds or different colors, skin color, can you show them respect as well? You see, I don't understand how the pro-slavery people could despise the black slaves they were bringing from Africa and other parts of the Caribbean to work in America. You see, I couldn't understand it because they failed to respect the personhood of people. Tell me something. Are you made in the image of God? I mean, that's a no-brainer. Are you made in the image of God? Yes. We are made in the image of God. You know, are we made in the image of God? Yeah, absolutely, we all are. Yeah, is that just for white people? But do we act it? See, that's where the rubber really hits the road. It's one thing to sit in a Sunday school class and in a church of all white people and say, oh, how we love God. And then I have to get into the roads and into the marketplace with them, and we hear the different languages, and we see how they behave, and we see the reality of it, and suddenly there's a disconnect between what we experience and what we avow here in church and then what we actually go out and practice outside the walls of the church. So we need to be very careful, because we need to have a respect for everyone. Why? Because they're all made in the image of God. If you were given a chance to talk to him, if you're given a chance to talk to him, I think that it's that you need to speak to him as a human being. I think you need to speak to him kindly. I think you need to speak to him as more concerned for his soul than what he did. You see, that's the bottom line. Yes, it is. True. Listen, true. You know, there probably isn't one of us here who hasn't in the darkness of his heart said, if I get my hands on that guy, and if I had a gun, or if I had the wherewithal, I'd blow his brains out. I'd make him pay dearly for what he did to that little girl, making her suffer. You see? Yeah, I know what you do, okay? The idea is, in the darkness of our heart, we've probably all done that. And see, that's the vigilanteism that comes out of us. That's why God has established laws and governments and judges to make those decisions for us. And then as the nation, we are able to execute the exact punishment that he needs. Okay.
The way I felt about it, because they ruled in our country, they want our country to be free American citizens.
And which stresses the point. When you see people from the East, the Indians, the Muslims, the Arabs, what's your response to them? Do you treat them with respect? You see. And that's very hard. And I understand that during World War II you were unsaved. The thing that would concern me, Irwin, is if that was your attitude today, as it was back in World War II.
But that's the way it was. I was not saved when I was
exactly. So we as believers need to understand that there's a difference that comes in our life, and we must treat everyone with respect. It does. It has to have that cleansing effect. So we need to understand that we have to allow the Word of God to work in us a changing effect. Don Imus this week lost his job. Maybe he should have, maybe he shouldn't have. But here's one thing I know. That man did not show respect to the Rutgers basketball team. Everyone understands that. understand that when you slam another person in that very same way, using those derogatory words at all, you slam that individual and you do not show respect to them. For instance, let's pick on me. Do you respect the preacher? Don't answer that. I'm making the assumption that everyone here, receiver behind you, that person who just wouldn't be quiet, and you talked about them, and you maybe giggled in the privacy of your own car about them, in your own private conversations. Do you understand that when you do that, that's not showing respect? Understand that if you see a person who comes in that's all tattooed, and you say, look at that dude, oh, isn't that disgusting? That is not showing respect to that individual. You see, it is very easy to show respect when I see you face to face. We all know how to put on the polite front and communicate. But when we leave the doors and we get in the privacy of our own conversations, what do we really say and think about people? That, my friend, is not showing respect. And you're not showing respect. Notice, especially, he says, love the brotherhood of believers. I should not walk out of here and poke fun at and ridicule and tell someone else about your shortfalls of any believer in here. That shows a lack of respect. Therefore, I've got to be very careful, because I have an obligation to the brotherhood of believers. And do you understand the confusion that we have sent to a world who doesn't know Jesus when we fight among ourselves? And I'm not talking necessarily about infighting within a local body of believers, but how often have people been critical of Louis Palau or Billy Graham, or some other servant of God who is out there sharing the gospel of Christ, but just doing it in a way that no one else would necessarily agree with. Have you seen Jim Baker's son on Christian television at all? Jim Baker's son is now tattooed head to toe. He has some piercings, and he has a church that meets in a bar. Now, see? Okay. Now, in your mind, you're saying, how is that honoring God? I want to let you know, be careful. Show respect. Because that man is reaching people for Jesus, this church and churches like it will never, ever see come through the door. Now, did he have to lower himself to get all tattooed? Did he have to be all pierced? Again, I want to be respectful. He has done under God what he has seen fit to do to reach people for Jesus. Now, as long as he's reaching people for Jesus and communicating the clear message of the gospel, what's really so wrong? You see, we need to have respect for believers, even ones we really don't agree with. And we need to stop shooting at each other. I'd like to start, I wouldn't mind taking a shot or two from the world, from the ungodly people, for what we're doing, rather than making a decision here in the church and then taking pot shots from the congregation as to what you want to do and how you want to do it and all that kind of stuff. Don't you just want to see people come to Jesus? Is that not the primary position of the church? Do you realize that if I ask the congregation, according to the latest poll out, if you ask the congregation what is the purpose and the mission of the church, 89% of the church congregants will say, to make me happy. 89% of the people would say the pastor's responsibility is to keep the sheep contented, keep them fed, keep them watered, keep them nurtured, keep them together. That's his job. Keep the flock together. And 11% would say the main goal of the church is to be evangelistic. If you talk to pastors, it is exactly the same. It was uncanny. It was 11% of the pastors said, well, I think my primary purpose is just to feed and to teach and to keep the flock together. 89% of the pastors said, we need to be out sharing the gospel. We are evangelistic. That is our primary purpose in life. Not to keep the saints contented, but to keep the saved, to get the saved lost. Get the lost saved. We're doing a pretty good job of getting the saved lost too, all right? But to get the lost, get them to make a profession of Christ. Why is that such a big disparity between the clergy and the people? It's because people haven't been educated in the fact that the church's main goal is to reach people who do not know Jesus as Savior. It is not to keep the saints warm and cozy. In fact, you'll find that if a church is not evangelistic, you know what happens to a church? You become critical of, well, it dies. But here's how it dies. It becomes critical of each other. Critical who's doing what and who should be doing what, and it begins to feed on itself. Exactly. And that was Lincoln's greatest prophecy. He says, we don't have to worry about people coming in overseas to destroy us. We'll destroy ourselves. And that's the same thing for the church. I'm to show respect for all believers. I'm to fear God. What does that mean? Someone tell me what that means. You all know what it means. Respect. Another R word would be reverence. Thank you. We reverence the word of God. We reverence God. We fear God. We have a respect for God. We hold him in high evaluation because he is worthy of worship. Therefore, I'm to what? I'm to, number one, I'm to respect everyone. I'm to love the brotherhood of believers. I'm to fear God. And what am I supposed to do? Honor the King. Honor the King. And that's how it's played out. I show my reverence and my fear for God by being obedient to God. When I'm disobedient, it shows that I have no honor or respect for God. When your children lied to you, when your children disobeyed you, it showed that they had absolutely little respect for your word or authority. And the only reason they feared you is they feared getting caught by you, not feared for what they were doing. Had they really loved us, I mean, truly, now I know that with their little brains, they're still cooking and they go through all this, so it's hard to use them as an example, but we as adults ought to know better, that the way that we show respect for God and his people, God especially, is by obeying him. To a person who comes in and says, I love God, and yet is disobedient, my first question is, do you really love God? Because disobedience means I need my way first. This was great. Last week, Morgan was wearing a little dress we got there for Easter, and she ate her dinner all through the Sunday afternoon with this little dress on that she was playing in. And she just loved it. But she wanted to change clothes. So she went and she changed clothes into an outfit that I thought was fine, but her dad hates. The next thing I realize is here comes Morgan out of her room, and I'm sitting on the end of the couch, and she's crawling on the ground. Now, we have this big David has this big sectional that we're all sitting on. He's in the corner. Becky's next to me, and Morgan's right here on the ground. A big old ottoman sitting right in front of us. David can't see Morgan. But she goes up, shh, and I'm thinking, well, she's just going to scare somebody. So So she crawls on her belly even more until she gets in the wide open, and David says, "Morgan." And she jumps up and she says, "I'm wearing the outfit." He says, "I know. Now go change it." At 5 years old, she realizes, I want to do something Daddy doesn't want me to do. And at 5 years old, if I can get away with it, I'm going to do it. But how often are we the very same way in our Christian faith? 50 years old in Christ, or 50 years old as an adult, and you think that you can outsmart God and get away with something. We absolutely do not respect God when we willfully sin and plan to do that. We show disrespect for Him. Therefore, it says this, "Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. This you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in His steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in His mouth. And when they hurled insults at Him, He didn't retaliate. When He suffered, He made no threats. Instead, He entrusted Himself to Him who judges justly. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By His wounds you've been healed, for you are like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." It is easy to obey someone who is easygoing, who agrees with me, or who is considerate. But how often do we bellyache when we have received negative implications to our life, to someone who's been cruel to us? The divorce rate is 52%. You know why that is? I wish the statistics were different for the church, but it's not. Do you understand? We don't have slaves and masters anymore. We have employers. We have people that we work with. We have spouses. Do you understand that when we have difficulty, it's easy to live with a spouse who is wonderful to get along with. But man, when they are just a pain in the neck all the time, we figure that we are justified in cutting our losses and running. Now, I know that some of you come with divorce in your background. I'm not here to beat up on you. But I'm here to say this. If you are in a current marriage, you need to stay in that current marriage. And probably at your ages, you're probably not even considering divorce. You're just praying for quick death of one of you, okay? but the idea... But yeah, I know. After 62 years, you know, we've tried it for 62 years and still don't have it right, so we're getting divorced. Now, understand this. We have to submit ourselves to unpopular circumstances, to those who treat us harshly and those who treat us fairly. I really don't think that it stops with the slave master. I really think that it means let's respect each other. And that is an unpopular teaching. That's an unpopular scripture in the Bible. In fact, when you get to chapter 3, verse 1, no woman wants to hear this. And men want to say, "Yay, go gangbusters, we want to hear this. Let's put our woman in our place. Help us do that, preacher. Let them know they've got to be submissive to us." You see, we all need to be respectful of each other. And I found this to be true in my life, and I know you have yours. I respect the one I'm married to, and they have no problem at all being respectful of me. And yes, submitting to leadership and decisions. And you need to make that decision. And you need to make it now when you're not up against the difficulty. That way when you get there, you know how to handle it. Well, Father, we don't always know how to handle our stuff when we get there. Really, we've been We've wanted our own way and rebelled against you so much we don't often understand what it means to do this. I'm glad that we have scriptures like this that teach us to be respectful of each other, especially to those in the faith, that we're to fear God, honor the King. I thank you that even Jesus was innocent of everything, yet he was abused, he was mocked, he was hit, he was whipped. Father, he was put to death, and yet he did nothing. Yet he didn't retaliate. He didn't call down angels from heaven to bring revenge. He simply provided salvation and submitted himself to God. And Father, that is what we need to do, submit ourselves to God. Because you haven't let us down yet. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives and for this time we've had to share in the Word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.